Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
CDC. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to say happy Friday to everyone. Truly, it's been a blessed day, and we thank God for allowing us to be in His presence one more time. We just want to start off by saying thank you to everyone that continues to listen in and continues to support us here at Pastor Zay CDC. Truly, it's a blessing to be able to see the love that you're continuing to show. Some of you are able to tune in to our pilot. We're doing a pilot over at the Heart of God Baptist Church where we're simulcasting the radio and also on video of our new Bible study, There's Nothing New Under the Sun. And so we're having great fun with that. We're editing some of the shows, and we'll have it out on YouTube here shortly, but it was a great blessing on yesterday, and we're going to continue to do things like this to just continue to reach people around the world, to let them know that these types of ministries are available to them, to uplift them, to encourage them, and to give them hope, and no matter what situation they're in, that they still can hold on to God's unchanging hand. So we're just thankful for all of our listeners who continue to support us here. Know that, as always, you can go into the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/pastorsaid, and you can go down to the on-demand section, and you can listen into all of our previous recorded shows, on recorded episodes, and approximately 20 minutes after this show, actually at 9:20, you can actually go in and hear this show in its entirety. So we thank people for calling in. We see the numbers of people are just continuing to go in at their leisure and going in and listening in, and so we're just grateful for everyone that continues to support us here at Pastors Aid CDC. Truly, we know that without you, it would not be possible. And so we just say thank you, ma'am, thank you, sir, for whatever way that you are participating. And we're just excited about tonight's show, where we talk about something about how we have a responsibility to pass something on to our next generation. And there was an old saying that each one should reach one. And, you know, if each one should reach one, that we all have a awesome responsibility to pass something on to the next person, the next generation, or even someone of our own peer group. We have a responsibility to pass it on. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And as always, if you want to be a part of this conversation, you can call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. You can get in on the conversation and see what do people believe that they have a responsibility to pass on something to the next generation. And do we have a responsibility for each person reaching a person, each one reaching one? You know, it's a big responsibility when you have the burden or you have the desire to help someone else along the way, to help and aid and assist someone else to prospering, to getting better, to getting a talent or getting an education or whatever it is. Do we feel that we have a responsibility? Do we feel we have a responsibility to pass something on? Do we feel we have a responsibility to teach someone something, a responsibility to set an example for someone, a responsibility to make sure that someone else gets ahead in their life? And, you know, there's a thought out there that I got mine, you have to get yours. You know, we have to deal with that thought. And, you know, that's sometimes that's a selfish a way of thinking about it. But then you look at it from the flip side, you struggled and you had to do what you needed to do to get where you needed to be. And a lot of times people don't appreciate things when they're given to them. So, you know, you have to find a balance between just giving someone something and helping that person to reach their goal. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Are we the type of individuals that feel that we have a compassion, that we have a desire, that we have a responsibility to pass something on to someone else? And what are the consequences of not being a society that passes things on? What are the consequences of us holding on to this great wealth of information and knowledge and wealth and talent and not passing it on? And so as a community, in order for our communities to continue to experience wellness, we as people that live in the community have to make sure that we're willing to pass on what is necessary for those that are coming behind us or coming up with us to continue to go on when we're no longer on the scene. And so if we're enjoying the wellness in the community, it would seem like we would want others alongside of us or coming behind us to enjoy the wellness of our community as well, and even go even further. And so in order for this to happen, we have to make sure that we are being mindful, that we're being purposeful, that we're being aggressive in our efforts to pass on something and to teach someone else to keep it going and going in a positive way. So that's how we're looking at things tonight. We're trying to see, do we have that responsibility? So let us know if you believe you have that responsibility, if you believe that you are feeling that you have to be responsible of reaching someone. And it doesn't have to be, you know, hundreds of people, but the question is, do we have a responsibility to reach just one person? And along with that question, what do we think this world would be like, or our communities would be like, if every individual took it upon themselves to reach out to one person, to say, I'm committed to you, I'm going to be there with you, I'm going to stay there with you and help you to succeed. I know there are many mentoring programs where people mentor people of younger ages to help them to get through school and high school and all kinds of things in their lives. And the biggest thing is that they're a person that's there for them, that they can talk to, that they can confide in, that will help them along the way. And so there are a lot of mentoring programs that are going on in our society. And those things are exactly what we're talking about, that each one is reaching one, and that there's a compassion that people are feeling, that they want to help someone else along the way. And so, you know, you really have to begin to imagine what kind of community it would be with all of these people reaching out, if everyone reach one, and then look at the contrary, where if no one ever, you know, or barely ever wanted to reach out or look out for someone, I would surmise that there would be a very, very cold world, that there would be a very cold community, and that it would not prosper because of the selfishness that would be involved, and no one would help anybody, no one would want to patronize anybody or patronize anybody's business or buy anybody's product. It would be all about me, myself, and I. And when you look at things like me, myself, and I, what that does is that brings a cold, a feeling that brings no sense of warmth, no sense of family, no sense of community with that particular attitude. And so I would surmise that it's very important that people take interest in other people and to be committed to seeing them improve in whatever area it is in their life. And, you know, just taking the time to reach someone. And, you know, if you can do that once in your life, I think you've been successful. And it's vitally important for our societies, our communities, to always keep moving forward and always keep an eye on those that are coming behind us, to make sure that they don't get left behind, to make sure that they are in the flow of things, and that, like I said, when we do slow down, and believe me, we will slow down, and age will catch up with you, that there are people in place behind us. They call it, in the business vernacular, they call it succession planning, where those that are older have put into place a business model or a business plan that would supplant them when they're no longer there. And it's a business thing, and, you know, not only can it be a business thing, but it's a life thing. It's a thing where, you know, you're preparing other people to carry on life when you're no longer around. In your business, in your family, there should be that type of each one reach one, that responsibility of preparing someone else, that responsibility of getting someone involved in whatever you're doing, to make sure that this type of work, this type of endeavor is going to continue. And so let's take a look at that tonight. Again, the number you can call in is 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. Again, we're talking about each one, reach one. Do we have a responsibility to help someone else along the way? And when we look at it from the standpoint of when you are older, when you have matured in various areas of your life, whether it's physically, financially, spiritually, mentally, and you see that you're in a position of doing well, you're doing okay, you know, take inventory of all those things that I just mentioned, and try to see how that has helped you. Try to see how that has helped you. Try to see how that has benefited you to getting to the point where you're doing okay. And see how, you know, whether you were in school, whether you were in athletics, how that there was somebody there that aided you, that assisted you to getting to where you are. For instance, if you are an athlete and you were coming out of high school, going into college, and you were on a football scholarship, per se, and in order for you to get to the level where you can play football on the collegiate level, they had coaches that work with you. You had coaches that work with your strength training, that work with your technique, that work with your nutrition. All of these people came alongside and helped you to the point where your physical strength was there, your nutrition was there, your knowledge of your position coaches. All these people come alongside and coach you. And they coach you to get better, coach you so you can reach your potential, coach you so you can get to the top of your game. And so that's all, you know, each one teaching one, or compassion to help someone else that is coming behind you, is that we just become big coaches. We're coaches, and, you know, we want to coach people into getting well. And the majority of the time, coaches have had experience in the areas that they're teaching, or their areas of their coaching. And so that's what I would suggest that we would do as individuals in our community, is know what you bring to the table, know what you can coach, know what you can coach at, know if you're a defensive coach or a defensive coordinator or offensive coach or offensive coordinator or strength training coach or a nutrition coach. You don't have to be at all, but find out in your repertoire, if you will, find out in your skill set level or whatever your gifting is, find out what it is that you do well, and then make yourself available to coach someone in that area and you know, be a mentor to someone in that area. You know, a lot of times people shy away from getting involved in mentoring and things like that because they feel inadequate to be able to do a good job. But many times individuals are looking for someone just to be there and that can help them in a particular area. And if you can help someone in a particular area, like reading, math, you know, different types of English, and if you can be there to reach someone and help someone in that particular area, coach someone in that particular area, that is reaching someone, that is teaching someone, that's being responsible to someone who needs someone at that particular time. And so I believe that all of us have gifting, all of us have talent, all of us have certain amount of time that we can have this compassion, have this desire, have this sense of responsibility to teach someone else in the areas that we have our gifting. Some people, like I said, some people are experts in math. Some people are experts in English, physics, psychology. So, you know, those are the type of things that we have to take inventory and say, I'm taking inventory. I'm looking at this situation. This is a gift I have. I know I'm good at this. This is the time I have. And so I need to make myself available to one person in my expertise. And if I do that, then that will benefit that person. That will benefit our community. And so that's how it should be trending. That's how it should be working. That's how we should be looking forward to say, hey, I can do it. And I'll make myself available. I'm not promising I'm going to be the whole, you know, package or anything, but I'm just promising that I'm going to do this one basic thing, And I know if I do this one basic thing, that it's going to make a difference. And then when you make that difference in that person's life, and they say the time that you put into their life, the time that you poured into their life, the time that you made yourself available to them, what's going to happen is as they get older, as they mature, what will happen is they will never forget. They will never forget the person that took the time out for with them. It showed them how to do the math, showed them how to do the English, that volunteered to participate in that person's life or whatever their endeavor was. I know in the trades they have what's called apprentices, and the apprentices come in and they do a lot of hard work and manual labor, and then they send them to school, and so they're doing hard work, manual labor, they're doing school work, and at the same time they're learning on the job how to do the actual job that they're training for. And so what happens is that the teachers at the school, the top engineers, chief engineers, engineers, they all are trying to help this apprentice get the necessary knowledge and the necessary licensing to be able to move forward in their career and provide a service to our community. But it's up to the teachers, the employers, and the employee to be willing to be in a situation where the employee, number one, is willing to go to school, and number two, is willing to learn, and number three, is willing to apply what they learned in school to their job and make sure that the other engineers that are teaching and training them are comfortable with that individual working, whether solo or by themselves. But those people that are around them, the teachers, the engineers, the chief engineers, they're pouring their efforts and their resources into this individual so that this individual can prosper and do well. And so, you know, it's a little about taking self inventory and seeing, you know, who has blessed us, who has guided us, who has helped us along the way. And when you realize that there have been people that have guided and blessed you and helped you along the way, that somewhere inside there should be a little voice saying, you know, find out what you're learning, find out what you have expertise in, and give back and be a blessing to someone. And when we begin to do that, whether we realize it or not, we begin to strengthen our community. And I think a lot of times people don't think about that whole community aspect. I think a lot of times it is focused on self, focused on the here and now, not focused on the future and you know, the community that helped mold and shape our lives, and the community that helped you know, bring about a sense of family, a sense of belonging. We sometimes forget about that. The people that were there, the mainstays, the people that were always doing the right thing for the community. And I think we're missing out on that a lot. We're not getting to the point now where everyone's by themselves, everyone's a loner, everyone is doing their own thing. And it seems like the sense of community is being lost because those who benefited from the community have now forgotten and are not pouring back in or giving back to the community, to those that are coming up, to help them reach their full potential. And so, you know, it's tough to see, you know, neighborhoods go through that and communities go through that. But I believe that there's still hope. I still believe that the community effort, the community caring, the community coming together is still out there. They just need a little encouragement to do it. And, you know, that's what we want to do here at Pastors Aid CDC, is we want to encourage everyone to have that sense of community, that sense of caring, that sense of wanting to be and needing to be involved with assisting or helping someone else who might not be as far along as we are as far as the training, whatever training it is. But you're going to, and I'm going to need someone to show us an example, to show us how it's done. Because believe it or not, there are people that just don't know how it's done. You can really be deceived sometimes when people pretend like they know, but they don't know. And then the other point is the person that's trying to help you, you know, they need to see a sense of humility from you that you don't know it all. I think sometimes people that don't know anything, they perpetrate a fraud and pretend like they know it all. And you know, that's not good because nobody knows it all. And, you know, it's not good for you. It's not good for your community when you pretend like you know something and you don't. And eventually that type of thing will catch up with you. So we're going to take a two-minute break, but we want you to call in. Feel free to call in. The number to call in is 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. And you can push 1 and get into the queue, and we'll talk more about this subject that we're talking about is each one, reach one, and do I have a responsibility to pass, to help other generations. So we'll be right back in about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
About each one, reach one. We're talking about how we should have a responsibility, a sense of responsibility of helping the people that are around us. And we're just asking the question, do you believe that or not, that each one should reach one, each one should teach one, and each one should have a sense of responsibility of helping the next person in line. And, you know, we talked earlier about, is there something or someone that helped us along the way? You know, that should be the question. Has someone helped us along? Has someone looked out for us? And you know, we used to say that term, you know, when we were growing up, good looking out, or someone's looking out, hey, that was good looking out, man. And I appreciate you looking out for me. But, you know, it seems like in today's society, there's not too many people looking out for someone else for whatever reason. But, you know, that should not negate the fact that we should also look out for people. Just because someone else is not looking out doesn't mean that we shouldn't be looking out for someone. And so we need to really take that question to heart. You know, did someone help me? And am I going to help someone else? And looks like we have a caller that wants to ask a question. We should get this caller. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Pastor C, good evening. This is Rev B. How you doing this evening?
Rev B, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Just getting in from a long day, but I said, let me get on this horn and see what the good word for today is.
I know that's right. We're talking about each one reaching one or each one teaching one and, you know, probing a little deeper. Do we feel a sense of responsibility that we should help someone else along the way? And, you know, we're just probing the fact that, you know, a lot of times when we've been helped, do we turn around and want to assist or help someone else? And so that's what we've been talking about tonight. And it just seems like our communities would do so much better if we would have that attitude of, before I leave this earth, you know, I want to help somebody. I want to reach someone. And, you know, I don't have to do the whole thing, but whatever I'm good at or whatever I might be my expertise or my gifting, that's what I want to share with someone to help make a difference in their life. And that's what we're probing tonight, Rev B. And I know that I've been blessed and I've been helped in many areas by people who just, you know, just wanted to help somebody. They didn't want any money. They didn't want any attention or any glory. You know, they just felt a sense of community. They saw a young man that was raw and immature, and they poured, you know, resources into me so that I can mature and be successful and progress. And then, you know, now at this point in my life, I have a sense of responsibility to pour that into someone else and to be a resource to someone else. And so my question tonight and to you, Rebby, is do you believe that, and do you believe that's something that our communities really need, and do you believe it's something that our communities are really doing right now? Red B. Hello? I think we lost Red B. But like I said, as a young man, there were many people that were in my life that poured resources into my life, and we were blessed by them, that they didn't want anything back. They just wanted to help. They just wanted to see me succeed. And, you know, that is an awesome thing. Looks like we got Rev B back here. Let's see if I can get him on the line. Is you Rev B?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, you got a little disconnected there. But just in response to your question, Pastor C, you know, a lot of times when people, shall I say, have never experienced being helped from somebody, you know, whether in a career, a profession, or just growing up, they've never experienced somebody looking out for them, as you say, mm-hmm. It's hard to be able to replicate that. And for persons like you and I who, you know, were able to come up where people looked out for us, whether, you know, we were new to ministry or new in a career mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. a profession, you know, we always had some type of mentor. You know, we had an older cousin to look out for us, or, you know, we had an uncle or somebody that looked out for us, or you know, when we were new on our jobs, you had somebody to show you the ropes. You know, when we were new to ministry, you know, we kind of had that mentor, you know, minister that kind of showed us the rope of how to do things, the ins and outs, the do's and the don'ts. You know, so when you've experienced that, it's a lot easier for you to be able to reciprocate that which you have experienced. So, you know, you're able to go out and help younger people who are new, you know, in your area of expertise or new in my area of expertise, you know, and kind of show them the ropes and do all of these things. Now, do we have an obligation? Of course you do. We always have an obligation, you know, to our fellow man to help them out, you know, to show them the ropes, you know, give them some vital knowledge, experience, whatever. But unfortunately, you know, not all of society has grasped that concept. You know, mm-hmm. most people, you know, are still selfish-minded, you know, still only concerned about making sure that numero uno is taken care of, and they're not worried about trying to help anybody else that's coming behind them. And, you know, it's sad that we kind of see this, especially, you know, Pastor C, in our black communities, that, mm-hmm. you know, when black people reach a certain level, you know, they don't mm-hmm. want to go back and help. They don't want to go back and help nobody. mm. So, you know, they don't want to look out. You know, they kind of forget from where they came from. And everybody right. knows that, you know, we are where we are because somebody looked out for us.
My
you know,
goodness.
Somebody helped us out along the way. You know, somebody was praying for us. Somebody kept us out of harm's way. Somebody said, go right when we were trying to go left.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
Somebody said you need to stop hanging around them people before you find yourself in trouble. You know, yeah. just all of that. I mean, we all have benefited from some words of wisdom and some sound advice. And so my thing is that, you know, we should always be obligated to help those who come behind us, you know, and it doesn't matter who it is, because you don't want people to make mistakes or do things on your account. You know, it's sad when we sit back and we let people do things that we know are wrong and we don't tell them. You know, and the Bible even talks about that, you know, you should never let your brother fall and slip.
Right.
You know, and we have to really take account of that. You know, like, you know, we have to essentially be our brother's keeper. We got to look out for our mm-hmm. brothers. We got to look out for our sisters and be like, hey, you know, what you're doing is not going to get you anywhere. You know, you need to kind of change your attitude, change your walk, you know, change your way of living. You know, stop hanging out here and start hanging over here. I mean, those are the things that really help people along the way, you know. Mm-hmm. And when people receive that, then they're more likely to reciprocate it. It's hard to reciprocate something that you've never experienced. So,
right.
you know, if you've gone through life and have never had anybody looking out for you, the odds are you're going to go through life and you're not going to be able to help anybody because you don't know what it feels like and you don't know the importance of looking out for your fellow brethren. But if you have, you know, like I said, right. you know, the odds are that you will be more willing, you know, to help somebody. And, you know, and one thing that, you know, I love to do is I love to give preachers opportunities because mm-hmm. I know I came under a pastor who let his preachers preach.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm under a pastor now who doesn't mind me bringing in preachers and giving them the opportunities to preach. And to me, mm-hmm. that's just looking out because yep. that was the way that I came up, you know, that you give everybody an opportunity to exercise their gift. And I said, if I ever get somewhere where I'm able to do that, I'd be like, look, I want you guys to come
right.
in or
right.
whatever
right.
and exercise your gift, you know. And at the end of the day, you looking out for them is more of a blessing to you than it is for them because God's going to reward you. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I do feel, Pastor C, that, you know, as just genuine, sincere, honest human beings, that we do have a responsibility and an obligation to look out
mm-hmm.
For our fellow brothers and our sisters.
And you know, getting back to your point where you're saying people that haven't seen it or experienced it, they can't reciprocate, that puts more of a burden back on those who have received it. So you know, that ups the ante on those who have received it. That gives us more of a homework assignment, as if you will, to have to be able to say, hey, you know, there's a lot of people that are out there that haven't seen this, and so my homework assignment is deep, and I have to get busy with whatever my expertise is of reaching out to these people and helping them along their way, or whatever, you know, I can help them, like you said, with preaching, for instance, or a preacher or a teacher or whatever it is, musician or, you know, whatever it is, then we have to get busy. But I think sometimes we get a little too complacent, Reb B. I mean, we get a little too complacent to think, well, I'm not going to make a difference, or, you know, they're not really feeling it, or I'm wasting my time, or, you know, I tried, but nobody wants to, so, you know, I'm not going to do it anymore. And we kind of don't complete our homework assignment, if you will. But, you know, I think it's a never-ending homework assignment. I think at every stage in your life that we come across, that we have a responsibility to reach back and help that next generation, and to do it in a manner where we know that it's benefiting the community as a whole. So once we pass off, you know, those people can stand in and not only stand in but make it better, Reb Lee.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at it like this, Pastor C, you know, the looking out essentially is just preparing somebody to be equipped to take over when you and I are no longer around. That's essentially what looking out is. You know, I mean, you're basically, you know, giving people experience, you're giving them, you know, knowledge and all of these things to be able to carry on when you're not around, you know, to be able to, like, carry on the business or carry on the church or, you know, carry on the family name or whatever it is, you know. So, you know, it's very important that we're able, you know, to train people. That's what looking out is, to train them, you know, to help them out, to give them opportunities, you know, because there's going to be a time when, you know, there may be individuals that are not around and somebody has to step up to the plate, take over. You know, and a lot of times what happens is, and this is a prime example, when the pastor leaves, you know, whether he goes to another church or he dies or passes on or whatever, you find that there's a lot of chaos in the church. And one of the reasons is that many people don't know how to operate a church when the pastor's not there, because they haven't been given that experience, they haven't been given those opportunities, you know, all of that. And so what happens is you have a church that's really dysfunctional because a lot of times, you know, they don't take heed to the teachings, they don't take heed to the opportunities, they don't take heed to the words of wisdom and all these other things, you know, because they put all of that burden on one person. And then when that one person is no longer able to do it, then everything else comes to a standstill because everybody is in a dysfunctional mode. You know, so that's why it's always good, as I say, to look out, you know, to give people opportunities to learn, to give opportunities for people to exercise their gifts and their talents and whatever, or even just to pull them aside and just give them a word of encouragement and let them know that, you know, you are important. You know, you do play a vital role. You know, you are an asset. You know, just all of these things, because at the end of the day, that's what makes, you know, makes the difference. It's about giving people the confidence, you know, to say, you know what, I believe in you, and I believe in you enough that, you know, I'm going to invest in you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it is. It's about making an investment and pouring in to other people and building their confidence so that they'll be able to, you know, be elevated or move to the next level or be able to take over and, you know, and transition into the next period of their life. So you know, it is very, very important, you know, for us, you know, to look out for one another, to help mm-hmm. one another out, you know, to encourage one another, to build up one another, because, you know, we never know. We're not always going to be around.
Right.
You know, and we want to be able to, you know, have people that are well-equipped and well-experienced to take over and be able to keep things moving in the right direction. We don't want things to come to a standstill or things to...
Not at all.
Not at all.
And
so
you mentioned that the African-American community was falling behind in that area. And, you know, you look at some of the other cultures and you see the investment that they make in looking out for each other and passing that on. You know, you can look at the different cultures and you see that in their family businesses, how they pass the different resources along. And even some cultures who have families in other countries or continents, how they make the sacrifice to bring them over and to, you know, put them in places where they can live and get education and, you know, work in businesses and take over business. I've seen, you know, several businesses where I've actually seen the generations one after another take over the family business. And, you know, there was a time where, you know, the African-American community, we did value education. We did whatever we could to make sure that our students got the best education possible and then go on to, you know, the work, make sure that as they were going on, they were making sure the people that were coming behind through, you know, various alumni, whether it's through historically black colleges or whatever, you know, trade industries or whatever it was, but they were making sure that the alma maters were strong. They were making sure that their trade or their unions were strong. They were making sure that whatever businesses were patronized and were continuing to grow. But somewhere along the line, I think they got, like you were saying, got a little bougie. Yeah. I don't know if that's a term people still use, but they got a little bougie. And I think the homework assignment just keeps getting pushed off. It's like we're not doing our homework anymore. You know, I see it as this is our homework assignment, and we have to get it right. But if we keep not turning our homework in, you know, not only in the African American community but other communities, you know, recent news has said that we're falling behind in education and people that are being educated and our status in the world is falling behind. And I believe largely because people who have advanced and see the advanced knowledge and progress have stopped doing their homework as far as making sure the people that were coming behind were equipped, but not only equipped, but equipped to be able to do better than what we are. So you know, basically we're getting handed our lunch. We're getting handed, you know, our hats by the people of other continents, and it's all because we're not doing our homework. Rev B?
Absolutely. You know, one of the biggest problems is that, you know, we do forget. You know, we do forget about the people who have, you know, that are behind us, and that's one thing that we don't see, you know, in the African-American community. I mean, you see it in the Hispanic community, you see it in the Asian community, you know, you see it in the white Caucasian community, that, you know, people operate as a family. You know, so as one family progresses and makes it, then, you know, they look out for the next family. They look out for the next family, just like how you were talking about businesses. You know, after one family, you know, reaches its maximum, then they pass the business on to the next family and let them work it and make their money. And then they pass it on to the next family. They keep it in the family. You know, and that's one thing that we've lost sight of. We've lost sight of how to keep it in the family. You know, we don't keep things in the family anymore. You know, we're just so,
individual. We're so individualized. Look at me. Look what I'm wearing. You know, look what I'm I'm painting my body. Look at my artwork. You know, look at my piercings. You know, look at my clothes. It's a thing of look at me. And when you're just looking at me, you really can't look at anybody else, Real B.
Exactly. You know, and it's so sad, you know, that, you know, we have become to the, you know, come to the point where it's just all about me, myself, and I. You know, we don't care about anybody else, nobody else. It's just about us. You know, once we've achieved it, you know, that's it. We're moving on. We don't want to be bothered. You know, leave us alone. You know, I got mine, you get yours, I got mine, figure it out. So we've just established, you know, this precedence of just selfishness to the point where, you know, we don't want to help anybody else, you know, come through the door or be able to climb through the window and reach success. And so, you know, success, you know, basically only begins with us and ends with us. And it should not be that way, but unfortunately, you know, we've raised a generation of people and people in society where, you know, all we do is just look out for ourselves. We don't care about the well-being of our brothers or our sisters or, you know, our children or our grandchildren. It's just like, you know, it's just about us. You know, we just live in a self-centered world, and, you know, we don't want to be bothered by anybody, you know. And of course, it's not supposed to be that way. But unfortunately, you know, that's kind of the name of the game now. You know, that we're the only,
right.
only time we want to be bothered with somebody if it's beneficial for us, if we want to get something out of it.
You mess with folk now.
But Pastor C, you know how it is. You know how it is. It's folks like that all the time. You know, they only want to help you if their hand is going to get greased too. If you know what I'm saying, you know. You know, if their palm going to come out a little greased on the other end. You know,
yeah.
If their palm ain't greasy, then they ain't fooling with you.
Yeah,
you know, they ain't fooling with you at all.
And particularly the males in our population. You know, the study is that the males that are attending college are decreasing, and the historically black colleges, you know, some of them are struggling for, you know, people to continue support the alma mater, to, you know, make sure that the institution continues to thrive. And produce, you know, quality students. It just seems like, again, I go back to this homework thing. It's like, you know, we just act like we don't have any homework. We don't have, it's like, do you got any homework? Nope. And, you know, we're getting a failing grade. You don't turn the homework in, you're a teacher. You don't turn the homework in, you get a failing grade, you know.
Absolutely.
And if you look at it like that, we're getting failing grade, and it's not just in our community, the African-American community, but it's in the community of America as a whole. You know, we're not doing the homework. You know, we're not keeping up with technology, math, science. We're not keeping up with the latest in engineering and trades and the latest development of, you know, new technologies, new ways of doing things. It's like we're just going to become consumers. We're not resources anymore. We're just going to become consumers of what other people around the world are doing. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with other companies becoming industrialized, coming up with new ideas and bringing more to the global market and the global economy. But at the same time, we shouldn't just stop and just expect everybody else to do something. We'll just consume. Because what will happen is our value as a people, our stock, will begin to fall, you know, and then we won't be as valuable on the exchange markets, you know, as we used to be. And so, it's important that you know, somewhere along the line it needs to go ding, ding, ding. You know, we need to start doing our homework and stop getting this failing grade. It's almost embarrassing. Not almost embarrassing, it is embarrassing that we're getting a failing grade because we're not doing what's necessary for each one to reach one, to each one to teach one, for each one to have a sense of responsibility to help my next fellow man out. Reb B.
You know, it's really sad that, you know, we don't even have a conscience to even want to help somebody. You know, it's just almost like we're just blind to the fact. You know, we're oblivious. You know, I mean, it's just almost like we just don't even look around us and see that, you know, there are people that really need and depending on us for help. You know, and I tell people all the time, I say, God just don't bless you for the sake of blessing you, but he blesses you so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. But we just tend to forget that, Pastor C. You know, we forget, this is one of my little things, you know, our little kingdom principles that we talk about. when God gives you an overflow, it ain't designed for you to keep the overflow. It's designed for you to take what you need and use the overflow to be a blessing to somebody else. That's what it's designed for. You know, it ain't designed for you to hoard it or storage or whatever. He wants you to use that to be a blessing to somebody else. And he says when you use that to be a blessing to somebody else, then he says, I'm going to give you more.
My goodness.
We're too busy trying to hold on to everything that we got that we're really missing out on the blessings that God really wants to give us at the end of the day. You know, because we become so selfish, because we become, so bourgeoisie and high and mighty and all this other stuff, you know, God is saying, now, do I really want to give you all this? Because when I give you all this, you don't use it like you're supposed to use it.
Can't handle it.
You know? So, you know, I wish that, you know, more people would just grasp the concept of, you know, being able to say, you know what, I'm going to use this, you know, to be a blessing, you know, to somebody. You know, God is blessed enough. And I'm going to use it to go out and to be a blessing to somebody. And that's what it's all about, being a blessing to somebody else.
And you know, going back to this whole thing of, you know, you don't have to be everything, you know, to everybody, but everybody has something to contribute. And, you know, if you can, you could simplify that, you know, into, okay, this is what I have to contribute, and make it a point to contribute it. Go out your way to contribute it, and if everybody had that mindset, then our community would be a whole lot better. I think sometimes people get discouraged or get a little anxiety-filled, thinking that they have to be so many things. But, you know, if everyone, each one just did a little bit, and I always tell people about that when it comes to evangelism, you know, in our ministry, is that if you can imagine, you know, just the people that we have here, if everyone went out and reached someone and told someone about the good news, and if those people went out and told someone about the good news, and if you just had, you know, five people that you did that with, and you did that five times, you know, that's like 25 people, you know, in just a short period of time. And, you know, you have to understand that there are masses of people that need to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But there's masses of people, like you said, that are blessed, but they're keeping it to themselves. And they're not looking out for the next guy. They're not looking out for that person that might not have heard the good news or the gospel. and it you don't have to do a lot. You can just do just that one little thing. Do it well. Do it from your heart. Do it with sincerity. And you'll be surprised of the difference that you'll make in someone's life. And you know, I tell people in ministry all the time, you know, you don't have to run the whole church. You can just be a blessing at showing up on time and opening the door for somebody. You know what I'm saying, Red B? And you know, passing that on to someone else and say, hey, you know, we might not be able to stay the whole service. We might have, you know, this to go to or this to go to. But if we can be faithful in showing up every day, every Sunday, opening up the doors, making sure everything, the heat, the lights, and things, everything is in place, then we can be that important thing where nobody else has to worry about it. The pastor doesn't have to worry about that. You know, that's something that I can contribute. I can show somebody else. Or when I'm not there, someone else knows how to come in and do it. And you know, just that, having that is a piece that the leadership or the pastor, I know that people that do that, that's something I don't have to worry about. That's something I'm not fretting over, is this going to happen, is this going to happen, because I know that person is going to give whatever their gift is for that particular time to do that, and you don't have to worry about that. And then they have someone in place that they're mentoring and teaching to do it when they're not there. That is just the awesomest. I think that's just the awesomest thing that can happen, whether it's in ministry, whether it's at work, wherever. Someone just saying, okay, I'm going to learn, and then I'm going to teach somebody else. So when I'm not there, someone else can take it on.
Exactly. You know, and it's just about, you know, being able to prepare somebody to be able to take over, you know, when you're not there. You know, be able to say, you know what, it's in capable hands. You know, and that's why it's always good to be able to train people and, you know, give people, you know, the experience and the opportunities to be able to do, because there may be a Sunday when, you know, Pastor C's not there and the church still has to run, you know. And the other thing is, like you said, is to let everybody know that they do have a very important part to play in whatever it is, you know, that your part counts. You know, whether you get there early to open up the doors, or whether you're there to make sure everything is locked up when services is over. You know, whether you're greeting people as they come in the door, walking, you know, single ladies to their car, or, I mean, whatever you're doing. You know, it's all important, because it's a role or void that is being filled. You know? So, you know, that's why I tell people, you know, everybody has a part to play. You know, everybody has a part to play. And so, you know, we just have to make sure that we do what we're supposed to do and make sure that, you know, we're in the process of doing what we need to do all of the time, all of the time.
Right. And you know, that was one of the things, you know, with you know, Blog Talk Radio, you know, with Pastors Aid CDC, you know, we together, you and I, are able to continue to be here every week because, first of all, God's blessing, but, you know, the interaction of the training of knowing how to continue to produce and, you know, and continue to keep the show going. You know, so if one's not available, the other one can continue to keep it going. And, you know, that's what it takes. It takes a thing of, you know, everyone's playing an important role, and everyone needs to be trained to be able to keep it going. Last night, T-Nuts, we had a great time with T-Nuts last night. We got some of it on the on-demand, and we got a good video. We're going to be putting that on once I edit it. But my sister, Sheila G, she's going to be out of town next Thursday, but she brought in Jill Hannah to, you know, just understudy. And so she's actually going to be my co-host on next Thursday. And so, you know, to be able to have the confidence to bring people, like I said, that you have expertise and you know they have a skill in that area, to bring them in and not be afraid, you know, to say, oh, if I give them this opportunity, they're going to take it, they're going to go, and I'm not going to be valuable anymore. You know, that's a spirit of insecurity, and that's not of God. That's not what we should be looking at. But we should be looking at it like, this is a blessing, that when I'm not here, that I can call Joanna or I can call Rev B, you know, and they're there to be able to stand in and be able to take it, you know, take it to another level. That's what it is all about in the end, when it comes to working in a successful environment, doing a successful whatever endeavor, whether it's your entrepreneur, whether it's ministry, is knowing how to work with people to the point where you can trust them to be able to take what you have taught them and bloom and thrive. You know, all the associate ministers that we have at Heart of God, I love to see them bloom and thrive. You know, it's something where I know that they're going to go out and they're going to spread the gospel and God's going to get the glory. And so I try to give them every opportunity, you know, I give people opportunity to preach, to minister, whatever, because it's all for the glory of God. And in the end, you know, that's what it's all about. And when he gets the glory, our communities thrive like crazy. Rev B.
Absolutely. You know, this is one thing I must say, this is not a format for insecure people.
No.
You know, you can't be insecure and do the Lord's work. You know, that's not gonna happen. You know, you just can't think that it's just all about you and you know, you don't want to give nobody else no opportunities and all this other stuff. Because at the end of the day, you know, God always has a ram in the bush.
Come on, man. And,
you know, you can be replaced at any time.
That's
right. You can be replaced at any time. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, you have to be willing to say, you know what, as such as this opportunity has been given to me, I want to be the same person that blesses this same opportunity to somebody else. And that's all it is. You're just sharing the blessing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As you get opportunities and blessings, you want to be a blessing to somebody else. That's what it's all about. You know, we want to be blessing, you know, to others. But, you know, you can't just go in and, you know, just think it's just all about you at the end of the day. Because
right.
It's not.
Right.
It's not about you. It's not about you. You know, and, you know, we have to keep that mindset that, you know, we have to think, we have to know that, you know, we have to be sincere, we have to be humble, you know, we have to do all of these things because God's not going to be able to use you if you go around thinking, you know, you are that in a bag of chips. It's not happening. It's not happening. Not happening at all. So, you know, we have to be very mindful, you know, of what, you know, what God has done for us, and we also have to make sure that, you know, we're living according to his will.
And, you know, the word of God teaches us that, you know, our gifts is going to make room for us. It's going to be a place for you to be able to use it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you truly gifted or you truly have that talent, so don't feel like someone's going to move you out or push you out. Because it's going to make room for you. And so, you know, that's what we're doing at Pastors Aid CDC. You know, more people are getting involved. And you know, that's been the vision all along, really, is to get people involved, get people moving in a direction where they're being utilized by God to get the message out, to get the sense of, you know, we want, you know, everyone to have an abundant life, to experience wellness, to experience God on a higher level. And the more we minister, the more, you know, outreach we do, the more, you know, combination Bible studies, more radio programs of getting this out, you know, the more people will begin to experience this. But if you just keep it to yourself, you know, then, you know, that's short-circuiting the vision. It's short-circuiting the plan to allow people to experience this. And, you know, it, I just think it's awesome. I really do. You know, starting in April and seeing what everything has evolved right now, man, it just blows me away, man.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, it's just an awesome thing to be able, you know, to, you know, just to be able to be in the midst of it all, you know, and mm-hmm. just to see, you know, God's blessings and just to see how, you know, he's using Pastor's Aid, CDC, and, you know, how so many things have come out of Pastor's Aid, CDC, you know, with, you know, the free monthly giveaways, and now we got this Nothing New Under the Sun, and, of course, you know, we have so many other things that we do, but it's just a blessing to see how God has just taken one seed and has, you know, dispersed it, so now that there are many things that have come out of that one seed, you know, mm-hmm. that has planted. And the thing is that, you know, we keep in perspective that it's not about us. You know, it's not about us. That this is, you know, that this was all about God, and that, you know, as quickly as he has blessed us, mm-hmm. you know, in that same facet, he can take it away.
Don't get it twisted.
So, you know, we always have to be mindful of, you know, what God has done for us and what God is doing, you know, because it's a blessing. You know, we don't have to be here. You know, we don't have to be doing what we're doing. You know, none of this would be made possible. So, you know, we just thank God for, you know, all of the things that, you know, he has done for us and continues to do for us. So, you know, it's a blessing. And, you know, just to be able to touch, you know, the many different people that, you know, we're able to touch on a weekly basis. I mean, it's
wow.
just awesome. Just awesome. You know,
it is.
We said, you know, we touch more people in 2 days than some people see on a Sunday morning in 4 or 5 months.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? So,
right.
you know, it's a blessing. But that's how God works. You know, that's how God works. When you go in with the right frame of mind, knowing that it's not about you, and you're sincere and you're genuine and you're honest, you know, that's when God is able to use you. But most importantly, that's when he's able to really bless you far beyond what your mind could ever conceive. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a beautiful thing to be able to, you know, witness that. So, you know, like I say, it's a blessing. And, you know, we truly just thank God for the opportunity to be able to do this on a weekly basis, a monthly
Absolutely.
Basis. You know, it's just a blessing. So, you know, definitely, you know, we just thank God for his blessings. We thank God for you, Pastor C, for just being a visionary and putting all of this, you know, into play. And, you know, just thank you for giving a young brother like me an opportunity just to be able to, you know, experience this and to be able to do it and to really, you know, really feel like, you know what, now I'm taking my ministry to another level by being
mm-hmm.
able to reach more and more people each and every week, and that is not
mm-hmm.
just a Sunday morning thing, but, you know, now it's a weekly thing. It's a daily
right.
thing.
Right.
You know? So I just thank God for that, you know. So it's truly been a blessing just to be able to be a part of, you know, Pastor's Aid, CDC, and to be able to, you know, do the things that, you know, we continue to do. And the good thing is, you know, we're just getting started. You know, we're still in diapers, you know. So, you know, it's still early, as the young people say. But we just thank God for what he's done. Amen to that.
Absolutely. And you know, we're getting ready to take a break, but we have a youth explosion, back-to-school youth explosion. Coming up this Friday, the 5th of October. It's going to be jam-packed. We got men of praise, God's people praise dancers. We got a rapper, God's artillery. We got a preacher. We got some singers. We got so much coming up. It'll be 7 o'clock on next Friday at the Heart of God Baptist Church, 7100 Chesapeake Road in Landover Hills, Maryland, Suites 205 and 206. And the young people are just crazy, man. It's like they have been given an opportunity to express themselves, Rev B, and mm-hmm. they're coming to me. They're coming to pastors saying, "We want to do this. We want to do this. We want to minister here. We want to do this." And it's like the buzz is so crazy. It's like every Sunday, you know, they're four or five of them in, you know, in my office saying, "This is what we want to do. This is what we want to do. We want to invite these people. We want to do this." And it's just amazing to see, you know, that type of enthusiasm of them getting involved. And it's because you reached out to them. We reached out to them and shown them, you know, what it's about. And now they want to take it and they want to reach out to someone else. So, you know, that each one reach one, each one teach one, the responsibility of giving back, it's something that even the young people, you know, can grasp and catch on. But you got to be willing to let them do things the way young people do things. You understand what I'm saying, Red B?
Absolutely. You know, you got to give those young people, you know, opportunities to be able to express themselves and, you know, to be able to, you know, fellowship and worship and praise and, you know, most importantly, keep that interest level high, you know, because a lot of young people, you know, they don't come to church because they feel like, you know, their needs aren't being met. They can't do what they want to do. They're restricted. They're limited, you know. So it's good to see that, you know, there are some churches where young people can, you know, come and do their thing, you know, and they can worship and praise God and not feel like, you know, somebody's going to be criticizing them or pointing a finger or looking at them, you know, out of the side of their neck or whatever. So,
right.
You know, it's a good thing to be able to have young people to go about and to be able to fellowship and most importantly to get excited about
mm-hmm.
wanting to come and to worship God. So, you know, big shout
out.
You know how brother
Christian, he always ready to come in there, him. Brother Daquan,
right.
Brother Anthony, you know, and the girls are coming in. I mean, it's like every Sunday, man. They're just, woo.
Yeah, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. You know, it's a beautiful thing that they, you know, they want, that they're excited, you know, and you know, they have that excitement, you know, and they haven't lost that excitement. So, you know, that's a good thing when, you know, we see our young people who are excited, you know, for the Lord and, you know, being able to go out and just worship and praise and lift up his name and, you know, they're not doing it for show, but they're just doing it, you know, because they're being genuine.
Right, right. And, you know, last Sunday, you know, we talked to Minister Baylor, and his debut of Crash is going to be the third Sunday in October at 3:30. So It's a jam-packed, look, we're having a fall revival, so it's a jam-packed month of outreach on the third Saturday. We're having a revival, we're having peanuts, and some of the young lady that was singing last night, Sister Pelzer, she wants to get involved with it now. And it's just, you know, she came to me in the audio booth, and, you know, she said, you know, "I don't have to sing. What can I do, you know, whether it's serving hot dogs, working the phone lines or whatever?" You know, she said she's caught the vision, and, you know, it's something she wants to be a part of. So it's a thing of, you know, continuing to reach people and show them and pour resources into them. So they can start, you know, blooming and blossoming. Is that word? What am I saying? Blossoming, yeah, blossoming.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And when you see it all start to bloom, Rev B, it's just awesome, man. My weeks go by so fast, but, you know, it's just a blessing, you know, to see it and to see what I call the fruition of God saying that we can have an abundant life. And what this you know, Pastors ACDC is spawning, you know, along with churches and ministries and other people, is we're experiencing what God is calling an abundant life. And he came that we might have life, but that life we might have it more abundantly. And by pouring into people, you know, working with, you know, community-based outreaches and functions, getting people involved, we begin to start experiencing that wellness that we talk about. But the Bible calls it an abundant, abundant life.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, and that's what we want. You know, that's been our drive since day one, is to experience wellness in the community. And, you know, that's about having that abundant life, which we know can only come through Christ. You know, and Christ said he came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So, you know, that's what it's all about, is having that abundant life and giving people the opportunity to share and to experience it as often as we can, as often as we can.
And you know, one of the ladies two of the older ladies that visited, they were so blessed by the men of praise when they performed their ministry during our Men's and Women's Day, that the lady said they just want to come just to watch them practice. I said, Lord, I got to write
it. Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, is just being able to, you know, being able to reach out to people and to get them excited about worshiping the Lord.
Absolutely. It's awesome. But we're going to take a break. We're almost at the bottom of the second hour. So we're going to take a break, and we'll come back in about 2 minutes.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Back in April. So we encourage you all to do that. And, of course, while we're here, don't forget, if you want to join us tonight, the number is 347-324-5569. Also, you can hit us up on Facebook and via Twitter. Facebook, simply Pastors Aid, and that's Pastors with an S. And you can hit us up on Twitter at PACDC 316. And also, don't forget, if you log into Blog Talk, you can also hear last night's show of There's Nothing New Under the Sun as well. So we're encouraging everybody that if you get a chance, please listen to that as well. Last night we were talking about sin. What is your definition of sin? Amen. That was a very interesting topic. I was able to chime in for a little bit, so but I did get me a nice little word. Amen, for the few minutes that I was able to chime in and listen. So I definitely want to give a shout-out to Pastor C, First Lady Sheila G, and Pastor G as well from my New Birth family. So definitely continue to support T-Nuts every Thursday starting at 7, where you can get your free meal, and then you can get your spiritual food at 8 o'clock. Of course, that's at the Heart of God Baptist Church, 7100 Chesapeake Road, Landover Hills, Maryland, Suites 205 and 206.
Thank you, Rev B. We, again, are talking tonight about each one, reach one, each one, teach one. Do we have the responsibility, or do we feel a sense of responsibility to help the next generation, or as Rev B was saying, bless the next generation, and do we feel that it is something that is vital to the longevity of our communities, of our country? And, you know, I'm just on this homework thing again. Rev B, when students don't do their homework, what's going on when they don't do their homework? What are some of the things that are going on when they don't do their homework? And the reason why I'm asking is because I'm using the example that, you know, we as a country, we're not doing our homework. Other people are getting A's and B's and going to higher, you know, math, technology, and science. But, you know, we're getting beat at every angle because we're not doing our homework. So, you know, as a teacher, you know, what goes on when people, what's going on when they're not doing their homework, and what is the result?
Well, I mean, one of the biggest problems is that, you know, not doing your homework shows a lack of discipline. You know, it shows a lack of discipline. The other thing that it shows is, you know, it shows a lack of appreciation for knowledge. You know, I tell people that the majority of your learning does not take place in the classroom. It takes place outside of the classroom.
Mm.
In fact, you spend more time outside of the classroom than you do in the classroom.
That's
so more of your learning is going to take place outside of the classroom and not in the classroom. And so, you know, I tell young people, I say it's very important that when you get home that you know, reinforce the learning, you know, reinforce the learning. That's what happens, you know, when you do your homework, is that you reinforce the learning. Because if you go home and you don't reinforce what you learned when you get back to school the next day, you haven't mastered the concept, you haven't digested the material, and so basically you haven't learned anything, you know. And so when you haven't learned the previous information or skills or whatever, you know, it's possible for teachers to go on to the next thing, because it's like building blocks. You know, the more you learn, you know, then the more you can add to your plate. But if you're not learning and grasping the opportunities, you know, you're going to miss out. And so what happens is a lot of our children don't believe in doing homework, you know, and so they feel like, oh, I don't need to do my homework. Homework's not important. Actually, homework is very important, because that's where the learning takes place. The other thing is, you know, if you don't do your homework, you can't expect to pass any tests or any exams. You got to know the material, you know.
And it's a chunk of your grade.
That's right, yeah. And studying the night before ain't going to cut it. You know.
No.
studying the night before or 2 days before is not going to cut it. You know, you have to be able to, you know, study on a consistent basis. You know, study a little bit each day. Do your homework every day. Review and check. Quiz yourself. You know, it's a habit. You know, you're building the skill, you know. So, you know, but what happens is because our kids don't do homework, you know, then they're not as successful as they could be. And mm-hmm. that leads to, you know, that leads to other things. You know, they're not able to, you know, get into the college of their choice. You know, they're not able to, you know,
mm-hmm.
get scholarship money. You know, I mean, it's just a lot of things. And you know, it just comes from not getting good grades, which often is attributed to not doing your homework. I tell people
and
all the time.
So flip that to, you know, us as a country that are falling behind in our academics, in our education.
Yes, they are. You know, they're falling way behind.
As far as us not doing our homework, as far as looking out for the next guy.
Right. And because most of them, you know, they don't want to make an investment in doing their homework. They have not taken an honest investment in their education. You know, they have not taken an honest investment in their education. And so when you don't take an honest investment in your education, it's very difficult for you, you know, to be successful. Very difficult for you to be successful. So, you know, you have to at some point in time say, am I going to use this education to benefit me, or am I
mm-hmm.
just going through the motions? You know, and you don't want, you know, to go through the motions because you want your education at the end of the day to work.
Right.
You know, you want your education to put you in a position to be successful. You want the education to put you in a position where you can turn back around and help others to become successful. But if you're not using it to be beneficial to yourself, how can you use it to be beneficial to somebody else?
So are we hungry enough? Are we motivated enough? Are we focused enough? It's
no.
Almost like you putting you to sleep. It's like you're going to sleep, and you know, things are just happening, and you're fast asleep. Is the hunger there? I used the football analogy. You know, they wanted it more. You know, that's how they got to the playoffs and, you know, got to the championship game, because they wanted it more. They was hungry. They did whatever it took to get to that point. I'm just saying, it doesn't seem like, you know, they're hungry enough. Like, they're going to do whatever it takes. It's almost like, you know, they're expecting mediocrity.
They are.
And they're okay with it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, that's what they do. You know, they relish being mediocre. They relish dumbing themselves down to make themselves look like they're not as smart as they are. You know, they relish, you know, being the thug, or, you know, being the dummy, or the class clown, or you know, or whatever it is, you know. And the problem is that, you know, we overall in this country, we don't value education as people outside of this country.
Mm.
That's why when people come from places outside of this country, that's why they do far much better when they get here in the educational system, because they value the importance of having an education. We have become so mediocre.
Wow.
We have become so mediocre because we take for granted, you know, we take for granted the educational opportunities, you know. We'd be like, okay, well, school is free. We'll just go and do what we want to
man,
do.
Man, oh, man.
Where if you in another part of the world, if you don't have money, you can't go to high school. You know?
Right.
If you don't have money, you can't go to high school. If you don't have, if you don't come from an elite family with a certain background or a certain last name, you ain't going to high school.
Or if you don't have transportation. They don't have the keys bus coming to pick you up.
Or you in a classroom where, matter of fact, I'm going to share this example with you. a gentleman that I work with is from Sierra Leone, which is in the eastern part of Africa. And the other day we were talking, he was like, man, you see how obese these kids are? I said, yeah. He said, look at all these pencils and stuff on the floor. He said, if they were in my home, he said, they would value the pencil. He said, because in most schools in his country, one classroom of probably 20 kids had to share one pencil.
My goodness.
And here we got kids in this country that just use pencils and throw them on the floor and leave them and go on about their business.
My goodness.
That tells you what the mindset is. Those who have less tend to appreciate more. Those who have more tend to appreciate less. And that's what's happening in our society, is that our children have so many things that they don't appreciate the education that's given to them. You know, so they go out here and they just want to be whatever and do whatever, and they
sounds like Reb B hit a bad spot, but it's so prevalent that it's almost become commonplace that people don't believe that they should be looking back and saying, hey, this is the best way to go. Don't go down this path. Don't go down this path. But it, somewhere along the line, it's the chickens are going to come home to roost. Eventually, that mediocrity is going to catch up with us as a community, as a country, and the rest of the world is going to begin to start, you know, really dictating to us instead of us dictating to them, because like I said, the chickens are going to come home to roost with this mediocrity, with this, you know, I'm not going to help nobody, I got my look at me attitude, blase. It's going to catch up sooner or later. It's going to catch up, and so that's why it's important for us to stay diligent, stay focused in reaching out and you know, giving words of wisdom and saying, hey, you know, we still need to strive for excellence. We still need to be hungry. We can't settle for mediocrity. We've got to strive to be the best and to raise up, you know, a generation that believes that we can be the best. And, you know, sooner or later, if we don't do it, you know, we'll be bowing down, you know, trying to get by instead of standing up and striving for excellence and leading the way. You know, that's what, you know, each one reach one, each one teach one, each one have a sense of responsibility to reach back and help their fellow man. That's what we got to have a burning and a desire to do. Reb B?
Absolutely. You know, you got to want to give back. It's very important, you know, to be able to give back and to make a difference. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you got to look at it like this. You know, it's not how much money you consumed, not how big your houses were, not how big your cars were, not how many degrees you had, how many people were in your church that you pastored, if you was the president of your company or whatever. It's not all about that lavish stuff. But at the end of the day, it's all about what did you do for those who came behind you. That's what you're going to be remembered for. What type of imprint did you make on society? You know, the people say, you know, he was one that gave back. He was one that looked out. He was one that gave a helping hand. He was one that, you know, remember the less fortunate and those who were downtrodden and left out and forsaken and all of that. At the end of the day, that's what your legacy should be about. It should not be about material possessions and, you know, external things, but it should be about, at the end of the day, did he do right by his fellow man? You know, that's what people are going to remember.
So at the end of the day, what individually and collectively do we have to do to start, you know, from today making that difference of each one reach one. How do you start that? How do you say, okay, let's make an effort to, you know, everyone I know to get them to come on board with this each one reach one. Where's our starting point? How do we begin this?
Well, I mean, the simple thing to do is just invest in somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, invest in a young person. Invest, mm-hmm. you know, in a young adult or something. Invest in somebody, you know, who needs some nurturing, some encouragement, who needs some words of wisdom, who needs your experience and your expertise. You know, be a mentor, be a tutor, be whatever. You know, that's where you make your difference. You know, you can turn around and you can invest in some young person. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to start, you know, okay. is to really, you know, challenge our young people. You know, our young people need so much direction, they need so much guidance, you know, and they're really depending on people to help them out. You know, so many of our young people have gone through, you know, this process alone because nobody wants to reach out to them, you know. But, you know, we need, you know, we are needed, you know, for whoever we are. You know, we're needed. We're valuable asset. We're a valuable resource to our young people because they are depending on us to help them to make it through. And, you know, the main reason, Pastor C, that a lot of our young people are not able to make it through is because they don't have anybody who's willing to invest in them and to help them along the way and to keep them from making mistakes that will change their lives forever.
My goodness.
They need somebody just to walk up and say, hey, don't make the same mistake that I made.
Right.
You know, they need somebody you know, to tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, I was once up on the abortion table, or I mm-hmm. once was mm-hmm. in trouble for committing a crime, or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. Whatever your story is, some young person needs to hear it. You know, some young person needs to hear your testimony about, you know, the mistakes that you made, but how God delivered you and how God kept you and how God has now changed your life and made you a totally different person. Somebody needs to hear that story. You know, you just didn't go through it for the sake of going through, but God gave you this story to be a blessing to somebody else. And some young person who's probably in the same predicament you were in 15, mm-hmm. 20 years ago is at that fork in the road and saying, do I go left or do I go right? You know, and you got the road map and you already know what lies ahead.
Hello.
But you won't open your mouth and invest in that young person and give them the insight and direction that they need to keep them from making a tragic, life-changing decision.
Wow.
So, you know, it's important, Pastor C, that we reach out, especially to our young people who are in dire need of direction, encouragement, confidence, all of that, feedback, everything. But most importantly, somebody that's going to keep an open mind and not hold them in judgment for things that they may have done already.
Right. You said a mouthful right there, Rebby. Good, this great. I'm going to go back and listen to the radio program later on. You said a mouthful. And I just got a vision of what you said. So we're going to talk about it later. I just got a vision of what you were talking about. My goodness. You said a mouthful right there, brother.
It's I'm telling you, it's powerful. If I could just get, you know, people to come in and mentor some of my young people, I'm telling you, it will make a life of difference. You know, me being one person, you know, I try to touch as many as I can, but, you know, this job is not meant just for one person.
Right. And that's, you know, that goes back to the title of tonight's show, Each One, Reach One. You know, each one, teach one. you know, each one feel that sense of responsibility to reach back and help.
That's right. You know, and you know, if you ever want to make a wise investment, the best one to make is in the life of a young person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful, man. That is really, really powerful. And you get to a point where, like you said, that's what's going to make a difference at the end of the day. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, how have you made a difference? You know, how have you made a difference? And it's going to take some like we talked about the other night, getting out of your comfort zone. It's going to take some, you know, effort. It's going to take some really moving out of your routine of what you do, and some people are going to get mad at you, and some of your friends, or should I say so-called friends, are going to not going to understand, and you know, might be a little haterade going on, but just tell them they need to do the same thing. they need to get involved.
They need to get involved, you know.
And if they're not good with young people, tell them to dig in their pocket, give it to you so you can help with the young people.
Yeah, you know, that's right. I mean, because, you know, young people are always going to be a challenge, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's just if you're real with them, they're going to be real with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's it. You know, just come with them honest, sincere, truthful. You know, if you got to talk, they talk. Then you talk, they talk.
But, and everybody, like I said, everybody can't deal with young people. But like I said, you can dig in your pocket and you can buy the hot dogs or hamburger or the movie ticket or the you know, the gas money. You can buy that.
Yeah, help them out with school supplies, whatever. You know, so, I mean, you know, there's always some role that you can play in the life.
There you go.
There's always something. You know, you may not be the mentor, but you could be the financial supporter. You could,
that's what I'm talking about.
You know, you can just show up at the game. Be like, hey, I'm just here to support so-and-so.
Yeah,
you know, that goes a long way, you know. So, you know, there are a lot of different things that you can do to make a difference, you know. And so that's what I'm saying. And it's very appreciative at the end of the day. You know, young people appreciate, you know, when you support them and, you know, what they're doing and their efforts. Because at the end of the day, all they're trying to do is please us. That's all they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they're trying to do. At the end of the day, they want us to be happy with them, you know.
Right.
So they would do their best to make sure that at the end of the day, you're happy with what they're doing.
Right.
You know,
right.
And, you know, that's what they need. They need somebody in their corner that's going to reach out and support to them in whatever way and however it can be done. So, you know, it's very important that, you know, we really, you know, when we talk about each one, teach one, that we really turn back and look out for those who have yet to come this way.
Mm-hmm. You know,
because they're coming quick, fast, and in a hurry. You know,
absolutely.
If we don't get to them soon, you know, we're going to have a lot of young people out here who essentially are going to become adults, and they're going to be out here, you know, making choices and decisions in their lives that could have been prevented if they had somebody in their corner that, you know, to keep them, you know, on the up and up and to keep them from making these choices. You know, so it's, you know, it's very important that, you know, we turn back and we reach. You know, there was a concept that I talked about one time in a sermon that as we climb up the ladder of success, we got to make sure that we put somebody with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we got to bring people with us as we move along the way. You know, we got to pull them.
Right.
As we climb, we pull. As we climb, we pull. You know, bringing people with us. Don't leave anybody behind. But as you grow and as God blesses you, you bring as many as you can with you.
That's
true. That's what it's all about. Because every other race of people is doing it, Pastor C, except for us. And that's why we're in the situation that we're in now, because we become all about us, all about us. And at the end of the day, it's not about us, but it's about what we do for those who come behind us.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And it's what I'm hearing you saying is that, you know, you just have to do it. You have to start doing it. You just have to put your shoes on and go do it. You know. I know.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. You know, I'm sure there's, you know, many mentoring places and organizations that would love to have people, you know, get involved. So, you know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. But, you know, you just need to get out there and do it. You know, stop procrastinating, stop being stagnant, you know. You needed someone to mentor you or help you, assist you. So take some of that energy and pour it back into the next generation. Pour it back in and watch them bloom and watch them blossom. I don't know why I'm having a problem with that word. blossom is really something that, again, goes back to that abundant life, that abundant living. And if you really understand that, then you'll get busy and you'll start pouring in. And like you said earlier, when you think you're blessing someone else, you'll begin to start seeing a blessing, you know, for yourself. Grab me.
Absolutely. You know, you want, you know, at the end of the day, always take an inventory of yourself and say, what can I do to be better? You know, what can I do, you know, to make a difference, to make a change? And, you know, we talked about that last Sunday, you know, about getting out of your comfort zone. And one of the things that's most important about getting out of your comfort zone is to make sure, you know, that you take a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly inventory of yourself to see where you are, you know, to see where you are, to see, you know, what you're doing, and most importantly, to make sure that, you know, you are doing all that you can to maximize that potential that God has given you. And that's what, you know, you want to be able to do at the end of the day is say, you know what, I am doing all that I can to make a difference.
And that's what it's all about, Red B. Red B, we have come to the end of the show. We're inside of 10 minutes. Just want to let all of our listeners know how they can get to the archives and Twitter and Facebook.
Yes, absolutely. Don't forget that after we go off the air at 9 o'clock, for all of you all who might have joined us late and want to be able to get the opportunity to hear tonight's show in its entirety, don't forget that you can just simply log in to blogtalkradio.com. That's / Pastor's Aid. And you'll be able to go to our homepage and just scroll down to the on-demand portion of the homepage. There you'll find all of our past episodes, which will include tonight's show as well as our very first show back in April. And, of course, you'll be able to also listen to the second, actually not the second, it's the third
segment. Third one, that's right. The third one, yeah.
Third segment of There's Nothing New Under the Sun. And, of course, you know, that's hosted by Pastor C and First Lady Sheila G of New Birth Baptist Church. If you want to hear portions of that interactive Bible study, you're more than welcome to do that as well. Don't forget, also hit us up during the week or whenever you get a chance on Facebook at Pastor's Aid. And also don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at PACDC316. And also don't forget that every Thursday, starting at 7 at the Heart of God Baptist Church, will be There's Nothing New Under the Sun, which is our interactive Bible study. We're encouraging everybody to come on out and have a great time. We'll be serving dinner from 7 to 8, and from 8 to about 9 o'clock, 9:15, will be our interactive Bible study. So we're encouraging everybody to come on out and check that out. And also, don't forget, next Friday, which will be October the 5th, will be the Youth Explosion at the Heart of God Baptist Church as well, and that's starting at 7 o'clock p.m. So we're asking that anybody who knows any young people who might be interested in coming out that night, please bring them on out. We're centrally located. That's my favorite word, centrally located, right between 495 and BW Parkway. We're right off of Annapolis Road 450, right there at Ardmore Road, and we're right on Chesapeake Road. So we're just asking everybody to come on out. If you need to get in touch with us, of course, you can call the Heart of God Baptist Church, and you can speak with Pastor Steve or leave a message, and somebody will get in touch with you. So we're encouraging everybody to come on out and be supportive. And, you know, just come and get involved in some of the great things that are going on through Pastors A, CDC, and the Heart of God Baptist Church.
Amen. And we're going to be broadcasting live on that Friday. We're going to try to get as many young people as we can. We're going to be interviewing the young people, you know, as they're interacting in the service. So I'm really excited about it, Rev B, to just be a part of that. I get excited about the young people, you know, worshiping and doing their thing. So we're going to be pulling them into the office and broadcasting live and just enjoying watching them minister and live this abundant life, you know, because so many people have poured into their lives to get them to be at this point, you know. And you know, the biblical principle is that some water, some plant, but God gives the increase. And when he gives that increase, oh, my goodness, you need to watch out. You need to watch out. He'll raise up a generation that is awesome and off of the chain, as the children say, when he raises them up and he gives that increase. But we have to be consistent in our watering and our planting and our teaching and our reaching and our giving back. We have to be consistent in that. And I just believe that, you know, with everyone saying each one reach one, each one teach one, eventually it's going to make a difference. Eventually it's going to make a difference. And that's what we got to keep, you know, having that hunger and that thirst and that desire for. So, Red B, you can close this out. We got about 2 minutes. Anything you want to add?
No, I just want to thank you again, Pastor C, for another great show, and we just want to just thank everybody for your continued support of us here at Pastors A, CDC, and of course, don't forget, we'll be back on the air Sunday night at 7 o'clock sharp, and as always, we do want to, you know, to continue to encourage everybody. We know that this is the last weekend in September, but we want to encourage everybody to get out there and register to vote if you haven't voted.
Yes.
Definitely get out there and take full advantage of that. So we are now just about 1 month away from the general election, which will be the first Tuesday in November. And we want everybody to be registered to vote to make sure that their vote counts. Allow your voice to be heard. You know,
that's right.
We're not promoting who to vote for. You know, that is your right as a citizen of this country. But one thing we can do is encourage everybody to get out there and to vote. If you need any information, go to your local library, go to your local motor vehicle registration. Young people, if you're 18 and you're still in school, go to your counselor's office at your school and get all of the information that you need. But we don't want anybody to have any excuses as to why they're not able to go out and to make a difference in this upcoming election. So we definitely want everybody to get out there and to definitely make a difference. So, Pastor C, I'm going to let you close it out. And
all right. We want everybody to remember that when you call in on Sunday between 7:30 and 8, we want to make sure you call in with the text and the title. Or the title in the text, and you can call in this same number at 347-324 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. And push 1 on your keyboard. We'll get you in the queue, and you can get on and for a few seconds and tell us what the text and the title is and how it blessed you, who was preaching the word, and how it benefited you. But until then, now that you have the resource, you need to get connected. All right, have a good night.
God bless.
God bless.